Save the date. Deal Sourcing 2025 am 16. September in Oberursel vor den Toren Frankfurts. Das wichtigste Netzwerkevent der Corporate Finance Community. Seid dabei und trefft rund 1000 spannende Köpfe aus M&A, Finanzierung und Restrukturierung. Mehr Infos und Anmeldung unter www.dealsourcing.de.
What's up, Corporate Finance? Der Podcast für die deutsche Corporate Finance Community mit spannenden Gästen aus der Banking-, Berater- und Finanzinvestor-Szene. Heute begrüßt euch Bastian Friem.
Welcome, dear podcast friends, to What's Up Corporate Finance. I'm Bastian Friem and I'm your host today. Well, today our podcast will be in English, and the reason for that is simple. We have the head of one of the most successful VDR providers as our guest. Jeroen Kroothoff is the founder and CEO of Virtual Vault. As a Dutchman, I'm pretty sure he's fluent in German, but nonetheless, we've agreed to speak English. So welcome on the show, Jeroen.
Thank you very much, Bastian. Thank you for having me. And meine Deutschsprache is okay, aber ja, in English would be a lot better. So thank you.
Na, wir hätten es auch auf Deutsch machen können, aber wir machen jetzt mal auf Englisch weiter. We want to talk about due diligence effectiveness, or more specifically about the role of a virtual data room, or VDR in short, in the due diligence process. But Jeroen, let's start with you as a person first. I guess it's really a boy's dream to conquer the VDR business. So how did you get in touch with the virtual data rooms?
What a lovely question. As you can imagine, it was never my dream. You just walk into it. So it's living the dream. But as a boy, you're not dreaming about a VDR because I didn't have a clue about data rooms, of course. So during my study, I studied in Utrecht and most of my friends studied law. And during the years after that, so starting working, I walked into my friends and most of the time, of course, we met in a bar and they had a discussion on how complex and unstructured data rooms were at the time. A lot of them were having this discussion, so I raised a lot of questions, and they were explaining me physical data rooms, a lot of paper, unorganized, messy, and they were actually looking for a real process. So after listening to these stories for a few weeks, I thought, sounds like a business opportunity. And we got a deep dive into the opportunity. I got in contact with one of the biggest deal makers in the Netherlands who was working at Ellen Overy at the time. And actually, yeah, my first company was called Dateroom Services. Yeah, the name explains a lot. And we just took a deep dive and we became very successful.
Well, but still at that time, there were already some big companies that provided VDRs, and I think they would have claimed that they were, even at that time, tech companies. So why did you think there was a niche for you, or even the big market?
Now, in the Netherlands, I think the first virtual data room was used in 2003. So what we were actually doing at the time was jumping into the target. Most of the time, they were the multinationals. And at that time, lawyers were taking care of creating their data room. So we were helping them with structuring the data, getting all the information out, and take it from there. So we were actually, because everything was paper at the time, we were doing scanning, labeling of documents, the whole preparation in front of the due diligence process. So at the time, we were still printing and getting all these documents into a physical data room. 4 years later, we were reselling with my former company, all our providers we have today.
Okay, so today is 2025, and compared to 2003, things have evolved to a quite different level, I should say. So let's talk a bit about the practical tools that are part of the VDR. And I would like to just quickly check with you which of them are essential, which are, in your opinion, nice to have, and which are maybe even differentiators. Maybe we start with those that are essential. What would that be in your opinion?
First of all, I think it's important that if you choose a VDR provider, it's important that there's speed, proper UX and UI. So it's It has a clear screen. It's totally clear what to do and when to do. And of course, security. I think this is all competitors and all VDR providers, when you look into the top five, are doing this in a proper way. But when you really look into a virtual data room, it is about effectiveness, control, easiness, how to set permissions for potential buyers and in all their roles, for all the experts, for legal, finance, tax, and so on. So you need to be very effective. You need to have a good overview on who has access to what. That is really important, because when it's messy, you make mistakes. And this is the only thing you don't want to do. You don't want to make mistakes. Then I think another differentiator is Q&A, because when the data is correct and all the information is in there following the questionnaires of your advisors, the next step is you get buyers in with their advisors and they raise an awful lot of questions, of course, and they have to, because they like to do due diligence on you. Then it's really important that you have a due diligence or a Q&A tool that's really helpful, that's fast, that gives you an overview, and you can see questions and documents regarding whether the questions are about at the same time. So I think it's important that you don't have to switch between documents and questions and answering, but that you need a split screen so you can be very, very effective. I think when you do that the right way, eventually, on average, it will take you less time, 35% less. So I think that's the most important part of it. Q&A tool must be strong.
Okay, good point. Now, you focus on the mid-market. Does the deal size make any difference for the setup and also the use of the VDR?
Actually not. I think all these processes are the same. It can be more complex because in larger deals, you have more people involved. On the other hand, most of these people are working in these companies for quite a while. They are quite experienced within M&A. So that's easier from that part. The main reason we focus on the mid-market is that we really like to run a lot of deals. So when you look at the market above 300 million, there are less deals. And actually our platform is about doing a lot of deals, make it easy and think as a M&A process. So the VDR is really important. Yeah? As I mentioned, the Q&A. And I think another thing that's really important is an archive. So one of the other things that we take care of, people want to have proof like on a USB or a DVD back in the days. So where everything is disclosed, you put that on this USB. I think it's important that you put it in the cloud directly, not to lose time. So you can move on to the notary directly and not losing time.
I think I can understand your argument about the number of deals in the mid-market, which is, of course, higher than in the large cap market. But there are arguably even more deals in the small cap market. And it's also arguably the most unprofessional one. So couldn't VDRs add most value in the small cap market?
Yeah, I think both. It's the small cap and the mid-market. But it depends on, what are they able to spend on a virtual data room. And so we really try to have the best service and the best VDR in place for a clear and transparent price. So actually, this is where we deep dive into, really want to help the small cap and the mid-market to become successful in M&A. So this is our main focus.
The willingness to spend money is another good point. Market participants keep complaining that the pricing is often quite intransparent, so you don't know how much you pay before the process is finished. Is that necessary?
I think it should be. It's a must. It's so intransparent. I think specifically for the entrepreneurs who get into a roller coaster. They do this once or twice in a lifetime, selling their baby, selling their business. And of course, it is such a roller coaster that you're working together with lawyers, corporate finance advisors. It's all new. You really need to be focused on this deal. And you're also still running a company because you want to run the company. You don't want your figures to come down during this due diligence process. So it's busy. It is, you're on 24/7. And then you need to focus on thing like a data room. Most of the entrepreneurs they are in such a roller coaster that they don't focus on it. And they got surprised about these billing because all the terms and conditions are intransparent. And I think that's why it's so important to have a clear view on what you're paying and when you're paying and if there are penalties within these T's and C's. So this is why we use a model that is actually fixed. So there's unlimited data. So there are no surprises. We're looking into these invoices.
Is that uncommon in the market? I guess so.
Yes, it is uncommon. And the main reason we came up with the idea is actually because I was building these data rooms and using all my competitors and series. Some of these products are brilliant, but still they're frustrating entrepreneurs and even corporate finance advisors because they are a bit surprised as well. And that is a difficult story to sell to your client, to the target company. So we were surprised over the years with all these strange bills. So this is why we get rid of it and make it very clear to everyone who's opening a data room.
Okay. So now we're talking about the sell side because the sell side is the one that is going to pay the bill. But the heavy user is usually on the buy side. So who should the VDR concentrate on?
I think both. And this is the main reason I started Virtual Vaults with the team. We saw that most of the VDRs were not really customer-centric. So when you look at the users, as you mentioned, you have sell side and buy side. And the main thing within a due diligence is process because it's all about completeness of your due diligence. Did I miss anything? Was my colleague taking care of this? Do we have a clear overview? Did we touched all the documents or not? Is this in scope? Is this out of scope? So this is why we also created an overview on dividing the workload with your colleagues, with other teams from the buy side. And I think this works from both ways. And you can imagine that the outcome is better and the time spent is shorter. So it's all about deal efficiency.
And you mentioned it's all about speed and also trustworthiness. So in the process, how important is 24/7 availability for a VDR?
Yeah, looking at this cross-border deals, 24/7 availability is key. It's definitely key. And combine that with service. So not someone who is picking up the phone when there is something they like to discuss or have a question how to do a simple thing or losing a password. You need to be there 24/7 with a service team as well, not only to pick up the phone, but really answering and solving these questions in their own language, because in the mid-market, not everyone is used to speak another language. So that is why it's so important to speak German, French, Dutch, and so on.
Well, now that takes me to something else. Two of your fiercest competitors are really big companies, so they can probably afford to have every language available, and they also may be able to afford big investments. Is it an advantage as a VDR provider to be big?
Nowadays, it isn't. I love them both. I work with them a lot, so I know these companies quite well. When you look at their teams, I think they're getting it more difficult because everyone is moving away from the old-fashioned printing companies where actually it's not about process, but about having a lot of conversation with your clients. And what we see nowadays, of course, is that with this business is becoming a SaaS business, so software as a service. So you need less people, you need more processes, not only within a data room, but also when we're talking about processes, when we're talking about marketing, sales, etc. This is why we came up with, let's say, what we call My Virtual Vault. So people have their own environment, their own account, so they can open a data room or a preparation part for a data room themselves. So process is key. And I think the upcoming years, most of our competitors will get rid of 50% of their people because otherwise it will become too expensive. And actually, this is our advantage.
Okay. So when you say process is key, then what about preparation? And what are the mistakes that the vendor side usually makes in the preparation phase?
I think it is really, really, really difficult to come up with a clear and proper timetable because there's always delay and there's always stress. And it is not the right balance to be well prepared and have a complete data room. So we came up with a system, what we call workspaces, and this is purely for deal preparation. And we think this is where the real value of a deal is created. So this is the phase where you use your questionnaires from all your advisors. You combine that to one questionnaire. Back in the days, it wasn't Word, so it was difficult to filter, etc. We moved that to Excel, and now we put that in our system. So actually, you have your questionnaires on all topics, legal, finance, tax, pensions, and so on, commercial, environmental, everything is in there. And the good thing is, now you can divide the workload within your company. So you structure the data and stay in control long before the VDI is going live. And that is so important to be well prepared, because this is where the value is. This is deal value. Because when you run into a VDR, you just open a VDR and you're not well prepared, you got blown away during the Q&A process and you're losing value. This is why deal prep is so important.
Okay, I think I can see that. Now, when it comes to market sizes in small cap, mid cap, and large cap, who's actually choosing the VDR provider? Is there any difference in the market?
Yeah, I think most of the entrepreneurs are not experienced enough. So corporate finance advisors will be in the lead. Most of the time, they have a preferred supplier. And in some cases, they come up with three providers where they're working with. And then the entrepreneur may choose which one they would suggest or choose. I think that that's not wrong at all. But I would tell every entrepreneur, just do a demo. Check these three or four, but I think three is enough. Check these three VDR providers, do a demo, and also ask them about their T's and C's. So the terms and conditions and pricing. And just choose after that, and don't choose without having a demo.
Okay, sounds like good advice. Now, at what point, at what stage of the M&A process should you get involved, or one of your competitors?
Yeah, that depends. I would always recommend as early as possible.
Which is when?
12 to 6 months upfront. In our case, it really works fine because you can use our preparation platform for free at that time. So you don't have any costs and you can take the time to well prepare yourself. I can imagine in some cases with some competitors, you get a bill directly, so people are not willing to pay that early. But I would recommend to do so because preparation is key.
So as a PE company, for example, could you even use it before deciding what advisor to give the business to? Would that make sense?
I would advise a PE company because they play the game over there. They are familiar with the game. So when they buy a company, I would tell them to keep that preparation part online. So we use that within the PE playing field to be exit ready during the holding period of a private equity firm. So a holding company and a company to be exit ready every day, 24/7.
You told me earlier that vendors could even save money by involving the VDR early in the process. How's that?
Yeah, I think most of the time when you prepare stuff well, it will at the end save you 30 to 40% of the costs. When you divide, for instance, some of these processes are a cut in phases. So you can imagine if you want to sell a company and cut it up into phases, you spend less time in a due diligence. So when phase one is actually not really great and you're looking into the financials, you can actually save broken deal costs as a PE firm.
Okay. I recently talked to a competitor and he claimed that his VDR should be used during the whole life cycle of an investment when it comes to private equity companies, because the VDR could also be part of the preparation for an exit or ensure exit readiness. Do you agree with that?
I fully agree. So when you look at the whole life cycle, and private equity is actually, I think it's getting the right picture of the life cycle. So first, the PE firm needs funding. Yeah. So when they start with funding, you can use a data room. So that is actually where they bring in the money. Then they need to buy companies. So you can use our data rooms as well when you have a buy and build strategy for buying companies or add-ons. So everything is actually in the preparation part, because you can run a playbook there as well. You can have playbooks for selling companies and you can create playbooks for buying companies. So what you do during these phases is, so funding for private equity, buying companies, and at the time after buying these companies, keep these prep phase and these prep solutions live. And Yeah, you will be exit ready during the whole period of a company that's been bought by private equity.
Okay, so I'd like to talk to you about a bit of the future of VDRs. And I'd like to know, does the VDR business require heavy investments to prepare for the future?
Now, from my point of view, and this is why some competitors, and we are here and we stay here, and there will always be a fight becoming number one worldwide. But when you look at the top five, everyone is investing heavily to be secure and to do the right innovations. And I think I can't look in their budgets, but what we do is we invest 60% in new innovations and 40% in software to be up to date. Of course, a user is not seeing this, but on the back end, you are, of course, that's the main reason that we keep it secure and that the speed is there and the UX is there, etc. But actually, the next step is AI, because I think you're heading that way. That is an enormous investment. And I think I'm not sure if everyone is capable of building the right AI tools, but I think the most important thing is such a buzzword that you really need to understand that if you want to use AI, it must be usable for our customers. So this is why we run a lot of AI tools, but we only released one yet. So during this preparation phase, and you're collecting your data, now actually it's a question and you answer it with a document. When you look at this document, this is the right time to think, should I redact the document for confidentiality reasons or for GDPR reasons? So we create an AI tool for AI redaction that is telling you, you should probably redact this because it's of commercial reasons, or it's for GDPR reasons because there are names in there, there are numbers in there of a social security numbers, etc. This is where we use AI nowadays. And for the near future, where we're working on quite rapidly, stuff like red flag reporting, that when you jump into a data room, you get red flags on certain clauses in contracts or changes of control. So people are actually being led by the software where to look for. So AI is more than a buzzword, but be aware, it must be consumer and customer centric.
Okay, I think I can understand that. But if we could travel like 10 years in the future or something like that, and then look back upon today's VDRs, would they look completely different or would they still be recognizable?
Hopefully totally different. I think it might be, but 10 years, you never know. AI, it went rapidly, but it depends on all the other experts in the field. As we all know, I think I love lawyers and I do. They do a great job, but they are not the fastest changes in the world. So it depends on how they are going to use it. So hopefully the data room will look totally different so we can move on and speed up these processes and be more sure about outcome and data.
Okay. There's probably one thing that might raise hopes in that regard, and that's that it's mostly the young people who are heavy users of VDRs. So is there anything that this new generation expects from VDRs, or are there different things that you are aware of that they would like you to have?
Yeah, that's why without these people, we weren't growing this fast as Virtual Vaults, because they are actually shouting and asking for new tools. They work with new tools all day long. And this is what we even see within certain law firms or banks, that people move away because they're not allowed to use these new tools. So we have to innovate, because otherwise people go to other systems.
Now, when you start to do some research and look for VDR providers, then at least I was quite surprised to find that many, a few dozens actually. So my question for the future is, will there remain niche markets for many players, or will the VDR market consolidate?
Oh, it will consolidate, definitely. We see that happening now already. Actually, a lot of VDR providers are for sale at the moment, so I get an awful lot of information memoranda on my desk. As you can imagine, I'm not interested, because I think these are the people who want to get out of the business because it's starting to get difficult with AI and all kinds of new tools, because they are aware they need to invest and some of them don't want to. So consolidation will be there, and I think it's a good thing. Yeah.
Then as a final question, any top priorities on your own bucket list for your company?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is focus. We focus on the mid-market because this is where people need better processes, better tools. As you can imagine, on the large deals, even when you don't have the right process or the right tools, you have the money to invest in people. Yeah. So it is inefficient, but it doesn't matter because the budget is there. And when we look at the mid market and the small cap, there is less budget. And we want to actually crown these people to be very successful in M&A because this is where the market is. This is where the magic happens. And of course, we all read the newspapers where a $1 billion deal has been done. Yeah. By enormous, the teams are enormous and the fees are enormous. But it is, no one knows about this. This is just the newspapers. It happens here. It happens in the mid-market. It happens in the small, in the SME market. We see this all over Europe and the US. So this is our focus, crowning these people in M&A.
This is where the magic happens. It's definitely a sentence that I'm going to like to remember. So this is really an exciting market that you're active in, Jeroen. I wish you all the luck you need for further growth. And well, unfortunately, we've reached the end. We could have talked on for a while, but that was really a very enlightening conversation. So I thank you very much, Jeroen, for your assessments. And to all who have listened attentively, thank you very much for your kind interest. You'll hear from us again soon. Stay tuned and bye-bye.
Musik, What's the Angle und What a Wonderful Day von Shane Ivers. www.silvermansound.com